It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Hi, this is Kevin Owens, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Great name, Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast. So what does that mean? You guys aren't allowed to discuss if anything happens outside the ropes? What if somebody gets clotheslined over the top rope? Do you guys cover the Royal Rumble? These are questions I need answered. Anyway, you're listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with two geniuses who came up with this name.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports, including Over Under 985. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Three-man booth this week. The theme of this show this week is going to be myself, Mike Riley, and Joe Murray. We all have three burning issues, three things that we just want to discuss on the podcast because we're post Survivor Series fallout, and there are some things that I've wanted to facilitate discussion on and have some opinions on. We have each picked an item, and we're going to discuss it. Three topics, set amount of time, and then Joe has a five count for us. All right, so I want to open with John Cena, and it's something I mentioned a few weeks ago. John Cena, Joe asked me who I thought was going to win the 2020 Royal Rumble, and I said John Cena. It's interesting to me how there's a story here with John Cena and his chase for championship number 17, which would then beat the Ric Flair record. John is tied right now with 16 championship reigns. The number with Flair is fudged. It's more like 28, but it's okay. They're going with 16. I want to see John Cena win the Rumble, and I want to see John Cena chase Brock Lesnar leading into WrestleMania in Tampa and John Cena beating Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. This, I feel, is one of the few drawing cards left for the WWE on a big picture scale. They can build other people. Like, I think they're starting to build to Kevin Owens, and maybe at this point Kevin Owens is going to win the 2020 Royal Rumble or the Elimination Chamber match to get a championship match at WrestleMania. But I think right now, I think it's John Cena, and whether this is actually John's last run as the WWE champion or if it's just a good story for him to chase and ultimately lose. My first question of many is, does John Cena chasing and trying to beat the Ric Flair 16-time world championship record, does it move the needle for you guys? Mike, does it interest you? Is this a story that you want to see?
Sure. I'm definitely in on that. I think it's a good thing for pro wrestling as a whole and John Cena for the brand that he's built now, becoming a Hollywood guy. Do I think he deserves it? Well, I'll hold that answer. I'm sure you're going to ask that. Does he deserve it? But I think it would make it very interesting for fans, whether you like him or not. That's a really cool accolade to chase and to potentially be the first ever 17-time world champion. And obviously, Ric Flair is held up in high regard. So to break the record that you share with him, that's a huge thing right there.
Joe?
Yeah, I just think that it's big match John, right? I mean, any match he'll be in, my eyes will be on it. The guy's still the best promo in the building, but is there a current superstar that's worth getting over to win the Royal Rumble? And we know that right now they're doing a ton of storytelling. Well, Cena coming back and maybe, you know, stopping somebody from a reign. I don't know, Baron Corbin, I'm just using it for an example, or Ricochet. I don't know, I'm just using names for example. But if they can build up that kind of storyline, even The Fiend for that matter, Daniel Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, whatever. Just if they can build that storyline, John Cena involved in wrestling is good for wrestling just because of his promos. The guy, you know, and really, like, he puts people over. He really does. He's really good at that. For years, he's been known to bury guys, but, I mean, lately, that's all he's been doing, right? And he even said it himself, he wants to continue to get guys over. So I think John Cena's good for business because he's been gone for a while, but there was a period of time where it was like, all right, enough, John Cena.
To the point of John burying people, I don't think it was John burying people. I think it was Vince being not sure what to do with somebody in a match with John where they need to win, but at the end of the program where they're losing the program, but then it's where do they go from there? And maybe in Vince's mind, he didn't see anything beyond John Cena in that program. Remember the example that I often go to is Hulk Hogan main evented WrestleMania 2 with King Kong Bundy. The next year, King Kong Bundy is in a six-man match against Hillbilly Jim as team captains. So there's a cycle for villains in the Hulk Hogan John Cena run, and whether we agree with where the villains go after, that's a Vince McMahon call. I don't think that's necessarily a John Cena call, so I don't think he's burying people. So my next question is, does John Cena versus Brock Lesnar do anything for you? And here's why it does something for me. It's a story that I think can coincide with the John Cena never gives up. And if my research is correct, it probably isn't, I think John Cena only has one big match pinfall victory over Brock Lesnar. And that was Extreme Rules in 2012. I'm pretty sure that Brock has beaten Cena like a drum. We remember the SummerSlam 2014 match. That was the six suplex match where Brock won the WWE Championship from John Cena. In April of 2003, in Worcester, Massachusetts, Brock Lesnar retains the WWE Championship against John Cena, a show that I missed because I was at my friend's wedding. There are two SmackDown TV tapings, TV matches, where Brock Lesnar beat John Cena as well. There's a disqualification win for John Cena at Night of Champions in 2014, but I don't really kind of count that. I mean, I remember seeing a dark match in November of 2001 where Brock beat John Cena at the TD Garden. So I think if my math is correct, that's four wins for Brock and two wins for Cena, and one was on a disqualification. So yeah, there's your built-in story that John Cena hasn't been able to beat Brock Lesnar. And finally, on the grandest stage, near the end in Tampa, John Cena beats Brock Lesnar and wins the WWE Championship. So back to my question, does John Cena versus Brock Lesnar do anything for you guys? Mike?
Well, they're going to have to definitely build up the fact that he is definitely chasing. It'll be like a David versus Goliath, of course, Brock Lesnar being the Goliath character and John Cena not having the luck against him. So they're going to have to do that if that is the case, because that's the only way that really I think will garner interest here with these two guys and two giant names in the industry to really get everyone's attention and to really tell a good story. Otherwise, you're going to see the old, well, here we go, and now John Cena going to get his ass kicked like he did. The one I remember the most, I think we all do, SummerSlam 2014. Took, what, 10 German suplexes there from Brock, and then the
F5. Joe, is this a host not listening?
Hold on.
I said 16, sorry.
I am saying, though,
Mike Riley, when hosts aren't listening, how to tell?
Shut your mouth and know your role there. And also, I think that this would not, that's the only way to do it, a David versus Goliath, the chase. Otherwise, you're just going to have the old thing that it's going to be Brock with the squash on John Cena.
I think it would help Brock Lesnar in any big match. I think it is must watch. But I do have this thing where it would be the locker room versus them, right? Part-time wrestlers. We just saw this Seth Rollins promo that I thought sucked, but, you know, trying to just take ownership. I think it would be that, the part-time wrestler versus the full-time wrestler. You know, just, oh, one of these guys is going to win, and here we are fighting and traveling every night. Like, I don't think it's going to happen, Jimmy, but, you know, right now, as we sit, as we approach Royal Rumble, like, what would be the main event for WrestleMania?
This is what goes through my mind all the time, Joe. It's Roman versus who? It's Brock versus who? It's who are they going to bring back? CM Punk, John Cena. Who is it going to be?
Yeah.
The John Cena card, I think, is there, and I think it would be a good story to tell. And then it becomes the question, what if John's just there to lose? Mike Riley, what's something that's just been burning you up that you just need to talk about from the last week or so in pro wrestling, sports entertainment?
Well, the last show that we did was on right after the Survivor Series, and I was not able to watch it, the Undertaker interview, immediately after the show, because it's when we're recording him and Stone Cold Steve Austin. But I thought it really opened up a lot of new ways we found out about the Undertaker character.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
How it was born and so forth, and, you know, he changed it to the badass and then briefly to the big evil, and just talk about his whole career as a Mark Calloway, not the Undertaker. A very intriguing guy. Maybe, you know, arguably by many, the best big man performer of all time in the WWE. And Undertaker being very open about WrestleMania 33, where he thought that was his last ever time in the ring. I think we all thought that in Orlando, that that's it. But of course, persuaded back into it. And now it just seems like that he'll close that door when he thinks the time is right. And obviously what he did allude to, getting it from a legend and so forth. So hearing so many things from The Undertaker, you can't rule out a possible return for him at WrestleMania this upcoming year, where he was supposed to be on the card or at some capacity last year in 35 to not make that appearance. Probably a very good chance he'll be there for 36 in Tampa. And just a guy that has that name and the historical figure of The Undertaker, the legend that he is. It was a really good interview for anybody that's a fan of him or not, but definitely a pro wrestling fan. It's a must-watch interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Just to add to that, I thought some things that he said were great. In WCW, he thought he was getting a push and basically was told he can't sell tickets.
Yep, Ole Anderson.
He was told that, and you know, he thought he was going to be Eggman, right? When the whole egg was coming out and it was the gobbledygooker. And then he says, hey, we got this idea about the Undertaker. I thought that was great. And just a couple of things that he said personally was he had to stay in character for years. And the one guy that helped him along the way was Jake the Snake Roberts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was putting those guys over. And, you know, the one thing that I truly got from listening to Mark Calloway was he's real appreciative of the business and the guys that he worked with. And he really liked Vince McMahon. You know, he said at times that they, you know, they went back and forth, but for the most part, it was like just like any other business relationship. They tried different things and it all worked out. And that was the guy that believed in him. And, you know, he says to this day, he always has Vince's back because that's the guy that believed in him. And, you know, I think that's the one thing now with wrestling, right, is, you know, we just heard CM Punk last week talk about, you know, guys need to continue to build their roles and continue to, like, build themselves up and be themselves. I think The Undertaker became a character, became himself. And, you know, the guy who gave him that opportunity, he always believed in that guy. And I feel like there are some people in that locker room who don't feel that way. And I think if they watch The Undertaker's interview with Stone Cold, watching both Stone Cold and Undertaker, maybe there'll be a different perception of themselves and their character.
So my big takeaway was Austin and Taker walking through WrestleMania 30, where Taker couldn't identify the spot that he had suffered the concussion and yeah, how long it took to prepare for that match. To me, right, that's scary. There's a great video out there from a few years ago where Paul Heyman goes through the idea that Brock Lesnar went off script. It's about 7 minutes, and with the way that Paul Heyman sells it, it's worth finding out. But Paul Heyman essentially says, what if Brock Lesnar just wanted the streak and he concussed The Undertaker on purpose and just took the streak? And there's nothing anybody can do about it because it's live. And the referee's instructed to do this, this, and this. And he essentially was theorizing in the Paul Heyman way that Brock Lesnar just concussed The Undertaker and took his streak. I want to follow up on Mike Riley's point about Taker talking about his story. And something that he said was, and Mike, about WrestleMania and Taker's involvement in WrestleMania. Taker mentioned how he's going to get to write the end of his own story. So my question is, how should The Undertaker's story end? And the WrestleMania match, at least for this year, and seemingly how The Undertaker's story should end, shouldn't it end against Bray Wyatt? Isn't that the new supernatural character, the Fiend Bray Wyatt, the number one merchandise seller in WWE right now? It's a match that happened in WrestleMania 31 that could have went a different direction. But now where Bray is a more established performer in the eyes of a lot more people because he's selling more merchandise, shouldn't Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt be a headline match at WrestleMania 36 in Tampa? And I say yes. And this is Bray Wyatt winning and beating The Undertaker. And maybe it's taking all of his superpowers.
Would Bray Wyatt be the champion, and would you have the championship on the line there if he were a champion?
I mean, unless Roman beats him before WrestleMania, but yeah, why not? Another scenario where maybe The Undertaker wins the Royal Rumble. Yeah. He gets number 30, cleans house, and it's one last ride for the dead man, and he picks Bray Wyatt. Sure. There are other ways that they can get there. I just always think that the Royal Rumble is kind of the cleanest and simplest.
Yeah.
So that might be a route that they can go.
Or do you have, I mean, I like that scenario with the Fiend Bray Wyatt. I mean, I think I wouldn't rule out Undertaker Brock Lesnar. Go after the guy that broke the streak, and now I'm going to end your career. If I win, Brock Lesnar, you retire. They could throw that out.
But, Mike, haven't we seen Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker enough? I mean, they've done two Hell in a Cell matches.
But have we seen Brock Lesnar put his career on the line? Who's best guy to end it? Undertaker at WrestleMania.
The only other thing he mentioned in that interview, too, is he knows he only has a few, like...
He's on the back nine.
He's probably
on the back three.
But if he was going to go out, wouldn't you think casket match, graveyard match, something to that degree where maybe The Fiend is burying Undertaker and that's it?
Didn't didn't the video game and didn't they recently do like a Sister Abigail match? Like, didn't Randy Orton burn down somebody's house?
Yeah.
Like, couldn't they do a whole like backyard vignette and this is the Undertaker's last match as he's going through like the haunted Hardy house or Please something along those lines?
That thing was terrible.
Whoa. Oh my God. That stuff was great.
No, that was so bad.
Oh, that was awesome. I love the Hardy house, the Hardy haunted house, and the Sister Abigail stuff. That was good stuff.
I like the Hardy stuff. I didn't like the Orton stuff was not good. But
yeah,
one thing that
Randy Orton commits arson and gets away with it. It's great.
Well, he's the only guy who can. But just to throw one more thing in there, they mentioned the Triple H fight. Shawn Michaels was the special guest referee, and the three of them up on the ramp there and how organic that was. And Austin asked him about the curtain call, you know, with the outsiders and guys like that. And he's like, nope, knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like that's the story of the Undertaker, right? He just did his job, worked hard, was paid well, but at the same time, everything he did was organic. And if he writes a story, I think it will be a story that's written, but will be organic.
Well, I'll tell you right now, and I'll close it with this on that. I was determined last year at this time that at Mania 35, he was going to fight Shawn Michaels in a match. Nothing on the line for a title, but a retirement match, and Michaels going to knock him out, return the favor, as he did it to Shawn Michaels at Mania 26. So, to Jimmy's point with The Fiend, sure, still the superpowers, but I'd be more inclined for Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, two guys right there, talk about how he ended the streak and now he'll end Lesnar's career.
Joe Murray, what's got your gears in a grind?
Just Google Vince McMahon and click on news, right? And I'm just going to go over a few of the things that you may see there. Vince McMahon being angry about a match at Survivor Series. Vince McMahon lifts ban on prohibited word. Vince McMahon upset. Just in general about a bloody fight involving a WWE superstar in a locker room. Vince McMahon upset about an ending. Vince McMahon upset with this. Vince McMahon upset with that. Like, all of a sudden, Vince McMahon has a take on everything that's happening. I know he's the owner, but, like, can these guys develop their characters themselves? Like, oh, Vince McMahon, you can now say the word wrestler instead of superstar. Right, I mean, there's just this constant, what does Vince McMahon think about everything, you know? And it's just starting to bother the hell out of me. Like, weren't you supposed to be the guy going to XFL and letting Triple H handle everything? We just got the greatest month of wrestling, if you ask me, with the premiere of AEW, the NXT invasion. This was all Triple H. This was great. And now we're going to go back to Monday Night Raw and the Lana storyline. And Drew McIntyre trying to get over, and Kevin Owens still trying to get over, and Seth Rollins still trying to be the man. And then you watch SmackDown on Friday night, it's the big dog, and it's Baron Corbin. But, like, Vince McMahon's got an issue with everything. Oh, Vince McMahon kills the push for Humberto Carrillo, or whatever the hell the guy's name is. Like, can you give somebody a chance? Vince McMahon hates EC3 in the way he's in the ring. Vince McMahon hates Luke Harper. It's like, what do you like, Vince McMahon? Right? I mean, seriously, at this point, nobody can really build their own characters because Vince is the one who says yes or no at this point. You know, it's not what the fans want. It's what Vince wants. And I get it. He's the guy who writes the checks. I get it. He's the man that's been doing this for years. He's the gimmick maker. But at this point, how many times are we going to hear about Vince McMahon and his opinion when Vince McMahon danced when he first heard the New Day song? You know, it's like, I don't care anymore. Like, can we actually let people develop their characters? And, you know, when Vince gets involved, when he's on television, it's great, right? You hear the No Chance in Hell. Everybody sings. He has the swag walking to the stage. And it's like, all right, what's Vince going to do now? Well, what was that thing he did? What was the thing he did recently? The lottery card or whatever, where wrestlers can vote, you know, you can go from SmackDown. That thing didn't work out too well.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
My whole thing is this. Vince McMahon at this point is holding wrestlers hostage. There are actually wrestlers who want to be released. He is not releasing them. And they are very good. They are very talented. But he's scared of what AEW can do. Or he's scared about what these other people can do. And at this point, it's like, all right, Vince, are you involved with XFL and you're staying out of this? Or are you truly controlling what's happening? Because for the last month, I think Triple H has done just fine. Oh, and for the record, the ratings were pretty damn good, too. So I'm just sick of reading all these storylines and Vince McMahon in the news about his feelings on everything, when really, wrestling's been pretty fine without you being involved for the last month or so.
Good take, Joe.
Oh, Jimmy, Joe, that was great.
That was really good.
Here's my reply, Joe. And I almost don't want to reply to it. I just want to end the podcast. I want to play Eminence Front right now and just end the show. Vince McMahon can be, quote, unhappy, unquote, about whatever he wants to be, reportedly. But he's also proving a lot of stuff. So NXT doesn't get to invade SmackDown unless Vince McMahon approves it and kind of gets out of the way. Or he molds it slightly so that it's in the form of how he envisions things. I would also tell you that Kevin Owens is over. It's just a matter of him getting back to a championship level and giving him a live microphone like they did on Raw. Him just poking at Lana was good stuff. Vince McMahon reportedly is upset about this stuff, but he's also allowing it to happen. And I don't dispute that there's a story that Vince was upset at the women's triple threat match that ended Survivor Series because it wasn't great. I would tend to lean that direction too, because it wasn't great. The crowd wasn't buying it. Now, was he calling high spot, high spot, high spot? He might have been. I do know for a fact that there are, I know in NXT it happens. I think it happens on the main roster where there's a talk back button to the referee. So Vince can hit a button. He can talk to the announcers. There's the legendary story of Mick Foley being annoyed by it and quitting. And he can talk to the referee. So I could see 100% that Vince McMahon would hit the talk back to the referee and guide through the match. And that's an ability that WWE has. And I think I've rambled. I don't know if I've answered your question.
You know, just to touch on Joe's point there. It was a good rant. Very, very good. And, you know, I know, talking about the XFL, where has he been on that? I thought he's supposed to walk away from that. So after listening to, you know, obviously Bruce over the years and even Eric Bischoff's podcast, and now really in particular Jim Ross on his, these are the guys that are probably the closest you're going to get to Vince McMahon, hearing them as a fan. It's very hard to get to him unless you're in the talent or in the company. So this is close you're going to get. And I remember one specific quote along the lines of Jim Ross said that Vince is a different cat. He's married to WWE. It's his life. It's his livelihood, obviously. It's a company he built. It's a company that he believes in. He's married to it. It's in his blood. So, okay, the XFL, he built that up. It failed. Now it's starting to come back. But to what Joe tied in there is that Vince is scared of AEW, and AEW is in Vince's head. So that's why I think he's taking control of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, everything going on here. And that's why what you see on TV is because of Vince, where he should be taking a step back, getting ready for the XFL, which is, what, 2 months away now at this point? Less than 2 months, just after the Super Bowl? And here he is because it's his life, it's his livelihood, it's WWE, and that's everything he lives, breathes, and sleeps, WWE. That's the problem with him. He's the creator of it.
Just one last thing to add here. Do you think Vince could let someone get over that they didn't create?
They have. They have. They didn't want Daniel Bryan getting over, and then CM Punk left, and they realized, oh my God, Batista and Randy Orton isn't going to be the greatest match in WrestleMania history. Yeah, and they added Daniel Bryan to it.
I think Styles has. But
Styles, like, yeah.
I just bring up EC3. I don't know if they signed him to put him down.
Oh, Joe, they have 251 members of the roster, and they just hoard talent for fear of somebody getting hot.
Or jumping ship.
Right, exactly. Like going to another company, getting hot, and being a game changer. That's why they offered, and the only thing that they couldn't... So, little nugget of news here. The Young Bucks, Cody and Kenny Omega, last year, before AEW became this thing, were offered multi-year contracts, $1 million downside, plus they could create most of their own merch. Mm-hmm. AEW came in with the same offer, except the vice president titles and control of their own creative. And that was the difference, is Vince wasn't going to give anybody creative license. He didn't give it to Hogan. There are wrestlers who have say on what they do, but Vince learned from the Bret Hart situation that you don't give creative control to anybody, and that was a difference. So he was well aware that Cody, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega could draw, because this is another story. I don't know if it's out there or not, but WrestleMania in Orlando, where there was a buyer from Hot Topic who was looking around and was like, oh, we got to get some of this Bullet Club merchandise in our stores. And the WWE reps are like, that's not ours. And the Hot Topic people had to find out who it was from and then go and get the rights agreement done. Mm-hmm. So they're well aware of other companies and everything like that. And that's why really NXT won the Survivor Series, was to put the emphasis on them. And they smoked AEW in the ratings. Although Meltzer, who's on the payroll of Tony Khan, will tell you, oh, you can't really look at that number, and you're wrong about this, and Tony Khan's giving me six figures, and there's all that.
Oh, I do think NXT's win the race. All that matters, though, is, hey, we work in sports radio in Boston, right? There's two big stations. One might win the ratings, but the fact that both get that amount of ratings, it's great for wrestling. So say whatever you want about AEW, it's still good that they're getting those amount of viewers.
Oh, agreed. 100% agreed.
Yep.
100% totally. Agree. Joe Murray, you have a five count for us. I'm very excited about this.
I do. So I'll start off Starcade, which I had no clue was last night whatsoever. I actually turned it on for the first 10 minutes. They brought in Ric Flair, woo, you know, the whole thing.
Kevin Owens show.
What an insult to WCW. We just talked about Vince putting people down. Holy crap, he crapped all over WCW and whatever Starcade was, whatever, 30 years ago. What a disaster that thing was. And where was the promo or anything like that? Vomit-inducing. Your thoughts on Starcade?
It's funny you said that, Joe, because, you know, obviously going into the weekend, Thanksgiving, I didn't hear a word about this. Survivor Series was last Sunday, and I know that they've done this on Thanksgiving weekend the past couple of years, but it was a Saturday night, I believe. I knew nothing about this until like Friday when it popped up. I'm like, oh, they're doing this for real, huh? Now it was in Greensboro, and then I know Cincinnati last year, and this year it's in Duluth. What an absolute slap in the face to a legendary WCW pay-per-view that went for years. I mean, the later part of it, Hogan versus Sting, Hogan versus Piper, Flair versus Savage, you know, the later years, and then obviously early in time, Flair versus Sting. It's just a waste, absolute disgrace to what they did to the WCW name of Starrcade. They're slapping the face to something they own. They're putting them over their knee and spanking them on the ass. That's all this is.
Does the WWE fan know what a Starrcade is?
I don't think so.
Not new ones, nope.
So you're taking this brand that I would argue had its last great main event in 1997, and we're in 2019. They brought it back in 2017. So is it really about burying WCW, or is it just kind of maybe somebody pops for the name who's an older fan, which you probably already have, and is interested in watching a 90-minute network special? And they just happen to be around this time where they're trying network specials. They did a house show in Boston a year or so ago, and they were just testing out equipment. But the really right. insulting thing for Starrcade was, do you guys remember Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery in 1991 or 92?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember that Sting Black Scorpion main event?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys do. Good. Because not many other people do, because that was insulting to the Starrcade name. And I would also tell you that when Eric Bischoff took more control of WCW, Halloween Havoc was their premier event, not Starrcade.
Yeah, but I think WCW told us that Starrcade was like their WrestleMania. And then Battle Bowl was, what, two rings, and then they went to the War Games, which was three, right?
World War III.
World War III, I'm sorry.
Was the three-ring battle royal.
Right, yeah, there you go. Which they've kind of, you know, they've tried to implement. I know they brought back the Bash about 15 years ago a couple of times. I'm sure, I know Cody wants Bash at the Beach for AEW, but I don't know, just the name, it just kind of disrespectful to the Starrcade name. But to your point, Jimmy, does a modern fan know what Starrcade is? No. Chance for them to revamp it? Yes. But I don't like how they did this.
You know, maybe Starrcade would have gotten over if Sting had been tanned more. I don't know.
There was nobody there?
Oh, only podcast listeners would get that.
Yeah, 83 weeks. Eric Bischoff and Conrad went about 20 minutes fighting over whether Sting was tanned enough to beat Hogan in Starrcade 97.
All right, two. Chris Jericho says Roman Reigns would be way over in AEW, saying he's the coolest guy, but WWE does not let him be that guy. They have him as the big dog. And I looked at the list of people that have asked for their release. So I ask you guys, A, do you think Roman Reigns would be over in AEW? And the second thing, I was reading this on E-Wrestling. They have a nice little site here, but Luke Harper has trademarked his Brody Lee, his independent name. Is that a guy that could get over at AEW? And is there anyone else that's been named on that release list, Oney Larkin, guys like that, that could totally?
So, Joe, just a quick thing about Oney Larkin. Oney Larkin is going to re-sign with WWE. There's a false report out there that he asked for his release. He did not ask for his release. He asked for a pay raise. And there's a verbal agreement. I actually think they signed the contract when they were in Boston a few weeks ago. But Oney Larkin isn't going anywhere. Okay, and in fact, with Oney Larkin, he'll probably have a similar role that he has right now in NXT in 205 Live. But longer term, I could see him, and I believe he's going to be a trainer within WWE. And so I know not a lot of people care about Oney Larkin, but I just want to correct you on that.
But could Sin Cara, the Colognes, guys like that, could they get over anything?
Sin Cara, no. The Colognes, probably not. Luke Harper, yes. I think Mike Bennett would get over, especially if he went to Ring of Honor. And there's a rumor floating around the internet that Ring of Honor and WWE might be working out a deal to make that happen. I don't know if that is true or not, but that is a rumor floating around the internet.
You know, back to Joe's question there with Roman Reigns on the Chris Jericho. I think he totally could be over in the AEW and definitely be that guy, essentially, what you were asking, right, Joe, or what Jericho kind of said, right? Yeah, he'd be, obviously, look at Jon Moxley, what he's done. It's a huge thing. So Roman, huh?
You think he'd be bigger, right? I mean, I don't think he could be Roman Reigns, though. Like, you'd have to know.
You have a different name.
Like Joe Cool or something.
Yeah. Right. He's going to have to.
Joe, to answer your question, yes, 100%, I think Roman Reigns would get over. There was a Twitter follower of mine who asked about Roman Reigns being in New Japan, and I said 100% yes, Roman Reigns would be great in New Japan. And here's one of the main reasons why, is Roman at WrestleMania 31 punched Brock Lesnar right in the face, and Brock laughed at him, and that's why Brock kind of took the rest of the match, because he's like, oh, you want to play that game? Okay, I'm going to dominate the match until, you know, we need to transition to Seth running in and cashing in.
All right, guys, moving on. We have Combat America this week has a big fight.
The hell is that?
I don't know. But Tito Ortiz takes on Alberto Del Rio or Alberto El Patrone. They're fighting this week, like a real fight. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on these. We know we've seen it with CM Punk, okay? But Del Rio, I'm interested to see. Tito Ortiz is like 40-year-old former UFC fighter. But if you could have a combat fight between a current wrestler and, I don't know, UFC guy, or just two current wrestlers go at it, I wanted to know what you guys think about this Alberto Del Rio, Tito Ortiz thing. And I feel like the one match I always want to see is Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley. Can this ever happen in WWE?
For a combat fight, you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be in on that. I mean, I know I want to see, it's happened before, but I want to see Brock and Braun Strowman again. I want to see that again. I know that Brock Lesnar got pissed at Braun Strowman. I really believe in him, and I'd love to see those two do it. But yeah, I'd be in on a Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar one. But never heard about this Combat America, Joe. First of me.
So, yes, I want to see Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar in a combat fight, a UFC fight, an MMA fight. But I actually want to see Jack Swagger against Brock Lesnar in one of those cage matches.
Okay.
Because Jack Swagger, of course, as we know, as Chris Jericho has pointed out, is undefeated, as opposed to Lesnar and Lashley have been defeated. So,
yeah.
And there's also the Cain Velasquez. Would we want to see Cain Velasquez versus Jack Swagger, or Cain Velasquez versus Bobby Lashley? He's a member of the WWE roster. He's a pro wrestler who's got MMA UFC experience.
Yep. So I'm interested to see what Del Rio can do. And this leads into the four count.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar, we were just talking Mania matches. According to E-Wrestling, Brock Lesnar's WrestleMania matches are between two people as of right now.
Okay.
One is a rematch with Cain Velasquez, who's dealing with an injury. The other is after the Wilder Fury match. Could it be Brock Lesnar versus Tyson Fury?
I feel like that's more of a Saudi match than it is a WrestleMania match, because the Saudi crowd won't boo it out of the building. The WrestleMania crowd will be like, what is this? Get this out of our ring. They'll chant CM Punk at him. But if the money's good enough, they'll do it. It's just who goes over. How do you beat the boxing heavyweight champion?
Well, yeah, how do you... Yeah, and then, like...
Sorry to cut you off. What about, like, a Baron Corbin who's been, like, a bare knuckles champion? Like, could they put that angle, a heel versus Fury? Like,
if that could have worked. Joe, I dig your vibe on this. Baron Corbin is, like, an excellent villain, and the fans don't know what to do with him, right?
Yeah.
So when Ciampa was a villain, they chanted F.U. Ciampa because they got it. With Corbin, it's like he's an excellent villain. He's got this great villain resume, and they're treating him like X-Pac.
Yeah. Poor Bobby Roode and Jericho, huh?
Well, and I think instead of those guys, you know, Brock and you know, Tyson Fury and all that there, why not do something like they did with Floyd Mayweather in the Big Show? I know they tried it with Braun Strowman, but do something else along those lines there.
Like
do
a McGregor?
Something, I don't know, another superstar where you have two MMA guys or two UFC guys or a real UFC guy and Lesnar and so forth. So why not do a superstar? Like, I'm just talking out loud. Maybe a Kevin Owens. I don't know. Maybe Drew McIntyre, just talking out loud here, not saying it'd be the best thing, but it could happen though.
And just, I'm only bringing this up because Combat America is trying to make this Ortiz Alberto Del Rio thing happen, and I might tune in.
Hey.
I might want to see Alberto Del Rio get his.
You got the lines on it?
I might have that for. I'll tweet that out at some point. Finally, guys, the five count.
Yes,
Arn Anderson on the Arn Anderson podcast mentioned a modern day Four Horsemen. Have you guys seen this yet? Do you know who it is?
Modern day Four Horsemen? No.
Jimmy, you either?
I'm aware of it, but I want you to share it with the audience.
Okay, and so I'll share what he did, and then I want to get your guys' opinion on who would be your modern-day Four Horsemen. So, Arn Anderson has Cody, Braun Strowman, and The Revival as the Four Horsemen.
Okay, so he's mixing brands then.
Yeah, of all professional wrestling.
Okay.
WWE already have their version of the Four Horsemen in the Undisputed Era?
But does anybody even know that?
Those of us who watch NXT on a regular basis, we do.
No, hold on, Jimmy. Hold on. Have they really built that as the Four Horsemen?
I think they're more of a faction than the Four Horsemen, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I think that they need to be put over more, okay? And sure, the NXT factor and so forth, they're on that spectrum there, but they need to be put out to a more main event capable audience. They need more main event time. They need more TV time at the prime spots to show that they're as good, if not better, than the Four Horsemen. That's why the Revival needs to be put out there more often. Put them on TV attacking others like the NWO did. Otherwise, the Revival's like, great, cool, that's awesome, but give me more. I need more Revival because they're good for business.
The Revival were good in NXT. They're not necessarily great on the main roster.
Well, it doesn't need to be main roster. I want more Revival if you're going to have the factions there as a modern day Four Horsemen.
Gross.
But, what would you do then? Who's your modern day Four Horsemen?
Kevin Owens,
okay.
The Usos, and Samoa Joe.
I'm thinking
Usos too. I had the Usos in there.
Okay.
The Usos are awesome, and they're not on TV because they have their issues.
I'd go AJ Styles. I'd go Randy Orton. And then I would also go with – I'm going all individuals here, no tag teams. I'm going Chris Jericho. That's three big names right there. And what the hell? Give me Drew McIntyre. He needs to be put over.
So I was thinking a McIntyre – Ricochet, Joey Janela, and you need a big, big name. And I think it could be Kenny Omega.
Oh, sure.
Just make sure you book Joey Janela properly. Otherwise, he'll miss a flight conveniently.
That's your five count, just sponsored by the Over Under 985 podcast, by the way.
Nice.
Quickly, did you guys see the photo that... The photo that Cody posted on Twitter today with a checkbox of names that he was looking to go after. Have you seen that on Twitter today?
Stand by. He did this a few years ago.
Yeah.
When he first hit the independent scene. There's his cigar post. There's one of his dogs. There's another one of his dogs. How far down is this? How much does Cody tweet?
He tweets a lot. Joe, what time was this at?
I saw it earlier today, but...
Joe, what are the names?
The number one name on it was Adam Cole.
Oh. Makes sense.
And there were others.
Cody did his original list, I think Adam Cole was the only one who he didn't get.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll tweet that out later so you guys can take a look at it. But it's just interesting that he had certain guys like on there. He got most of them.
Mm.
But yeah, I'll tweet that out so you guys can see it. But he's had this idea, this vision, right? And so far, it's working out. The only thing I think they need more of a women's division.
That needs to be revamped and you know, add more injection to that, because that's got to be, if you're going to be going up against the WWE on that, that needs to happen sooner than later.
So Cody's original list was Adam Cole, Dalton Castle, Bola, Kurt Angle, Chris Hero, the Miracle Mike Bennett, Moose,
good
Pat
list so far.
Buck, Streamer Things, Young Bucks, Trevor Lee, Shibata, personal ring announcer, Roddy Strong. So I think he only didn't get Adam Cole off of that list. Yeah, I was
too bad I didn't put
images around that.
I would have loved to have seen him put CM Punk on there. That'd be an eye opener.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
No, but I think that'd be an eye opener for each other that they don't like each other, and you know, chance to make some good money for the company right there.
Yeah, he'll be in WrestleMania in Tampa, I'm sure.
Oh, all right.
No, I don't. I don't know that, but they'll push the panic button. Joe, thank you for the five count. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports, including the Over Under 985 podcast, which sponsored this week's Wrestling Inside the Ropes. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Joe Murray at Joey Murr on Twitter, for Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart, and we will talk to you next week.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.